in the first hour. I'm going to do something in here that I didn't do in the first hour. The subject of the morning is what is the most important verse in the Bible? And so as you begin to think about what your answer to that question is, I'm going to take a moment and share with you a verse that became very important to me early this morning. And I'll just read a little bit of this for you. It's out of the book of Jonah. Jonah left the city. This is Jonah 3:5. Sat down to the east of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade to see what would happen to the city. The Lord God ordained that a castor oil plant should grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head and soothe his ill humor. Jonah was delighted with the castor oil plant, but at dawn the next day, God ordained that a worm should attack the castor oil plant, and it withered. And when the sun rose, God ordained that there should be a scorching east wind. The sun beat so hard down on Jonah's head that he was overcome and begged for death, saying, I might as well be dead as go on living. And God said to Jonah, are you right to be angry about the castor oil plant? And Jonah said, I have every right to be angry, mortally angry. God went on to say, if you're angry about a castor oil plant that you didn't do a thing about, don't I have a right to be worried about all the people in Nineveh? But I just report to you that I'm a little bit in mourning this morning. For 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, something like that, I've been coming in early on Sunday morning and parking my car under the only shade tree that provides shade all the way through 12 o'clock. And I come out, you have to park illegally in the Nations Bank. You can get a little bit of shade over there. But I was parked in a legal spot over here. And every morning I come out, my car's cool, all of yours is hot. You know what they did this week? My tree is gone. I couldn't believe it. No, I didn't park it there. There's no point. They might choose to put a sidewalk through my car if I try to park it there much longer. Anyway, I hope those of you who are... I'm trying to decide. I'm going to try not to be, but there was something cool about having that spot. And anyway, that has nothing to do with the lesson this morning. That's not the lesson this morning.
Identify
with God. There may be a point. A little longer walk. What's the most important verse in the Bible? You got a candidate?
Somebody's been beating on that. There's not much of a writing part left. Did you quote that verse?
No.
For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
That's a pretty good candidate. Got another one in mind? Yes, ma'am.
I guess the favorite one always struck me, and that's Luke 12:32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. He actively wants to do that. Makes him happy.
There's something so tender about that phrase, little flock.
I just love that.
Something so tender about that. Anybody else have a candidate? I see a few of you have your Bibles open and you're thumbing. Yes, sir.
We're in Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
You guys go to the river baptism? Was it 2 weeks ago now? Was it 2 weeks ago? They did something wonderful down there. Did you notice that? Each one, just before they're baptized, they've got somebody, I think it was Steve Law this year, reads a verse for them. And I think they've been doing that in our church for a pretty long time. I think most of the baptisms they do, that's So it's sort of in that spirit that I'm asking the question. Anybody else got one you want to put up? Yes, ma'am.
I don't know what the verse is, but it's the one that says, "Be still, know that I'm God."
I think it's in Psalm also. I'm not sure exactly where. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. John 14:6. That's John 14:6.
I think that exclusivity is important.
Yes, John.
Jeremiah 29:11. Another prophet, I think, for the Lord, prophet, peace upon the people.
Jeremiah 29, 11. Anybody know that that's Travis's favorite verse? I think that's, he's told us that. I know the plans I have for you, plans for good and not for evil. Corinthians, Judy?
2
Corinthians. You remember those?
17.
Okay. I see a few more hands going up. This is good. I saw yours, then yours, and then I saw one on each side.
Galatians 2:21. I do not nullify the grace of God, for righteousness comes through the law that Christ died.
How do I paraphrase that? Because the message pretty much is what I think it was point two in Travis's sermon this morning. We got an invitation to the party, but we don't deserve it. Hands off. And if we say undeserved favor, there's a five-letter word that works for that. That's great. That one, I think, puts it in a little bit of a negative form, but it's certainly saying something important. Yes?
Philippians 4:13.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I saw one here, and now I see a few more. Yeah. This is fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is fun. Yes.
Ephesians 2:8-9.
Saved by grace.
Not of works.
Not of yourselves.
Yes.
A gift from God. Lest anyone boast. Okay. Over here.
Philippians 1:9. This is qualified if it's 1 minute, but it runs across 3 verses.
Well, you know, I've got this special place over here for extensions. And as I was making my list, I put Psalm 23 down because I'm not going to try to pick one verse out of there. I got Exodus 20 because I'm going to put the Ten Commandments on that list. I've got Isaiah 53 because when you talk about how he suffered for us, I see that picture. So I'll be happy to put it over here if it's a little long, but if it's just a couple of verses, I think it can still stay. We've got at least one that was 2 verses long. What you got?
And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus, to the glory and praise of God.
And where was that?
Philippians 1:9-11.
If we need more room, we'll find a way to have more room. I saw I think, John, I saw you first, and then I saw you, and now I've seen two of you together. I'll try to keep it in some kind of order.
Revelation 22:18-19. It talks about adding and taking words away from the Bible.
Don't add, don't take away. What Scripture says is what Scripture says. Yes, ma'am.
Romans 8:28.
That's a good one. Can you quote it?
And we know that God calls us all things together, good to those who are called according to His purpose.
I saw it. I think your hand matched it.
Well, it's actually a fragment of a verse, but it was my grandfather told me this. He said the most important words in the Bible were "in the beginning, God."
I think I know where that is. Let me stop just one second. I want to thank those of you who have your name tags on this morning. This makes it so much more helpful to me. It really does. Those of you who have gone out of your way or have let Barbara find yours or somebody else. Thank you. Yes, Helen. I know you're going.
Romans 12:1 is one I like. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, which is the body of the living sacrifice. Which is the reasonable service.
Okay, Romans 12:1.
If you want to do it on a section, I think it's very helpful to have the funerals as a clue to get us to start.
There's a time for everything, I'm sure. Time to be born, time to die. Yeah. That's probably for another day. That's probably for another day. What else is on your list?
Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lead not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make the path straight.
Does it use the word knowledge? Don't lean on your own understanding. That's the word. Acknowledge and He will lead. Okay, you got your hand up too, I think.
Yeah, Philippians 3:10. We want to know Christ and the power of the resurrection and the fellowship of sharing and suffering and coming like Him in His death. So somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead.
I want to know Christ. Who else? Lord?
2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you, so my strength is made perfect in your weakness.
How long does it start? Corinthians 12:9. Quote it again. What?
My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness.
There's one too many squiggles in there. Don't worry about it, please. Okay. Who else?
I have a smudging section. Ephesians 6:10, putting on the armor of God.
Another section would be Philippians 3. Philippians 2, 6 through 11. That his gratitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus.
Okay. You've got two most important verses. When you start to reach my problem, which is there's more than one. Good. Yes, ma'am. Go ahead. Read it out for me. What's the verse again?
Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge.
Who else?
Let me help you just a little bit. I want you to have the right answer to that question, and you didn't give it. The right answer to that question is, it's the verse, what's the most important verse in the Bible? It's the verse I need today. Please, Lord, let me see it. Please, Lord, let me see it. And tomorrow it might be a different one. Every one of these you put up and more are candidates. But the most important one is the one you need today. And the prayer you ought to have in the morning and in the middle of the afternoon is, if there's one I need to be thinking about, it, bring the Bible, bring it to my mind. These are good. Let me share with you a couple that I put down. For the sections, I've got Matthew 5 to 7. I'm going to put Sermon on the Mount on that list. You put down John 3:16. That's the first one I put down. But I put down right behind it, 1 John 5:12. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life.
What was that again?
1 John 5:12. I put down Matthew 9:37. Jesus says, the harvest indeed is rich, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he'd send workers. A lot of people would think about putting down Jeremiah 31. If you've got your Bibles, see if you can find that. I don't know if you underline things in your Bible. Let me suggest if you do underline things in your Bible, don't do it with a big pen. It'll bleed through to the other side. You won't be able to read either side. If you have a cross ballpoint, not a rolling ball, it will usually stay on the side you put it on. Parker will sort of do that most of the time, but every once in a while you get a refill that won't. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. Look, the days are coming, the Lord declares, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their ancestors the day I took them out of Egypt. Verse 33. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. Within them I will plant my law, writing it on their hearts. Then I will be their God, and they will be my people. And then the setting around that could make it into a section of the sort that Sarah and some others were talking about. I'll be their God, and they'll be my people, and the day's going to come that covenant's in place. But if you find Jeremiah 31, you probably ought to take a look at Jeremiah 32, because it's a pretty good verse over there, too. What's the first word of verse 17 in your translation? A lot of people, a lot of Bible scholars think that Jeremiah stuttered. And therefore that if this is an accurate quotation, he was trying to sort of get the word started and that ah came out. You take a look through the book of Jeremiah. This isn't the only place this happens. But Jeremiah, it says in the verse just before, he's done something and then he prayed to the Lord. And this is what he prayed. Lord God, you made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. Jeremiah 32:17. To you, nothing is impossible. And then take a look down in verse 26 and 27 when God responds to that prayer. The word of the Lord was addressed to me as follows. Look, I am the Lord, the God of all of humanity. Is anything impossible for me? What would Jesus answer to that question? They didn't word the question quite the same way. They worded it slightly differently. They said, what's the most important what's the most important law? What's the most important command of God? What was his answer?
Love the Lord your God, which comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, I think. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And then what was the second thing he said? Which comes out of Leviticus, I forget the chapter and verse. Love your neighbor as yourself. And those of you who've been in here for a while may remember that at the end of Jesus' life, I think it's in John 15, he added a third one. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor as yourself, and what's the last one? Figure out how to love other Christians. Figure out how to love your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Turns out we don't always do a very good job of that.
But there's three that he put up, not necessarily as the most important verse, but as the most important command of God. Now, what I'd like to do, I've got a bunch more on here. Actually, I think I will do this. I'm going to take you to the one that is the most, I used the word in the first hour, the most frightening verse to me in the Bible. But maybe the best way to say it is the most sobering verse in the Bible. Take a look in Ecclesiastes. If you're in Jeremiah, you're almost there. Ecclesiastes is a close-by book. I think Isaiah is in one direction. Ecclesiastes is in the other. Find Ecclesiastes 36. I mean Ezekiel. I said Ezekiel and I meant Ezekiel. But I said Ecclesiastes when it came out. I said Ezekiel. There's no question I said Ezekiel. But Ecclesiastes came out. I don't understand that.
Ezekiel.
It is Ezekiel. 36. It is Ezekiel 36. You try to stand up here and see how you do every week. Okay. Now, I want you to do something that's a little bit hard. I don't want you to read ahead. And I want you to pause every moment or two and tell me what reaction you would have so far if you were a person who was in such good relationship with the Lord that it was never a struggle, it was always a joy. If you were there, what would your reaction be to what God says through his prophet Ezekiel? I'm going to start at verse 21. Don't get too far ahead. I have been concerned about my holy name, the Lord says, which the house of Israel has profaned among the nations where they've gone. Now, it's a bad thing that God's name has been profaned by God's people. But God just said, I'm concerned about that. What's your reaction? Is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? For God to be concerned about his name being profaned by his people, is that a good thing or a bad thing? That's a great thing. God's concerned about it. He might do something about it. That's a good thing. Don't miss this. Let's get the spirit of this, right? I've been concerned about my holy name, which the house of Israel has profaned among the nations where they've gone. It's a bad thing that his name's been profaned, especially by his own people. But it's a good thing he's concerned about it. And so, say to the house of Israel, the Lord God says this, I'm not acting for your sake, house of Israel, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations where you've gone. I'm going to display the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned among them. How do you feel now? He's going to display the holiness of his great name. Good thing or bad thing? Terrific. That's wonderful. And the nations will know that I'm the Lord, declares the Lord. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? That's wonderful. And then the other shoe drops. When in you I display the holiness of my great name before their eyes. God's concerned about his holy name. And he's concerned about people who are supposed to be his children who don't live up to it. So he's going to do something about it. He's going to display, he says, the greatness of my holy name. And I'm going to do that, he says, by displaying in you my holiness before their eyes. How are people going to see God's holiness? How are people going to see God's greatness? What's God's plan? They're going to see him in the lives of his children. That's a sobering thought. That's a sobering thought. it makes a verse in Psalm 19 take on a little bit different meaning. Turn to Psalm 19 for just a second. Read the last verse. Psalm 19, verse 14. You ready? Psalm 19, verse 14. May the words of my mouth and the whisperings of my heart always find favor in your sight and in your presence, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. That's a pretty powerful prayer in light of the other one. Now, what's the most important verse in the Bible? The one I need today, and Lord, help me see it. But I want to go real technical on you for just a minute. Somebody this week I ran across must have had too much time on their hands. I know that there's 39 books in the Old Testament. And some of you know how many books there are in the New Testament. 27. But I didn't know until this week that there's 929 chapters in the Old Testament. Did you know that? Did you know that? And that there's 260 chapters in the New Testament. Now, if you add those together, 920 chapters and 260 chapters, you get 1,189 chapters. That means there is a chapter in the middle. If you've got an odd number, there's a chapter in the middle. I sit in the choir at 8 o'clock. If we got six men walking onto the back row, then the middle of the back row is not a person. It's a space between people. But if there's an odd number, then there's a person in the middle, right? There's an odd number of chapters in the Bible. 1,189. That means there is a chapter smack in the middle. Okay so far? And somebody knows what that is. They had too much time on their hands. They went and figured it out. There are 23,214 verses in the Old Testament. And there are 7,959 verses in the New Testament. That means, if you add those two together, you have an odd number. There is a verse that's in the middle. We call that in statistics the median. Half come before, half come after. There's one smack in the middle. It turns out that there are 593,493 words in the Old Testament. I don't know which translation they use to get that. We're not going to go to words. We're just stay with chapters and verses. If you look, the middle verse in the Bible, I am told, I did not check this, so we just happened to go by the statistician who had too much time on his hands to do this. There is a verse that's in the middle, and there is a chapter in the middle, and the verse that's in the middle is in the chapter that's in the middle. Isn't that convenient? Isn't that convenient? It didn't have to be that way, right? You could have all the long chapters back here and all the short chapters back here. The middle verse could move, but they're both in the same place. Okay? Now, what I want to do is I want to help you find that verse. And I want to help you remember that verse. So the first thing I'm going to do is show you how to find the chapter that this falls in. What's the longest chapter in the Bible? A few of you know. Psalm 119. And that's something I've known for a while, and I had it really emblazoned on my memory the day that we had a husband-wife singing group come to our church. This church. The wife was at a piano off to the side of the choir loft, and she had a microphone. The husband was in the middle of the podium. He had a microphone, and the husband says, "We're now going to sing for you a setting of the 119th Psalm." And about 9 or 10 people in the congregation, including me, went, because that could take quite a while. I don't know if they had rehearsed it or not, but she leans into the microphone and she says, "It's Psalm 19. And about 10 people went, phew. So, the longest chapter in the Bible is Psalm 119. Anybody know what the shortest chapter in the Bible is? 117. Take a look at 117. 119 has, in my translation, 176 verses. How many verses does Psalm 117 have? It has two. And the chapter in between is the middle chapter in the Bible. The chapter in between is the middle chapter in the Bible. I believe that the easiest way I can show you where that chapter is. Now, the middle verse is not the middle verse in the chapter. It's a little bit before the middle. It didn't line up quite that nicely. But the middle verse is verse 8. Would you read that verse? Read it again a little bit more loudly.
It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man.
It is better to trust in the Lord, one translation says, than to place your confidence in human beings. That's the central verse in the Bible. Not necessarily the most important one. What's the most important verse in the Bible? It's the one I need today. And Lord, help me to see it when I need it. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in the human being.
Well, that's exactly what you were saying, though, about what's the most important verse. We trust in God to show us the most important verse.
One could make an argument that that might be the most important verse in the Bible, given all that it contains and all the implications of it. Psalm 118, verse 8. Psalm 118's got a couple of good verses. Take a look at verse 22 and 23. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing, and we marvel at it. And 24 is no slouch. This is the day the Lord has made. What did Travis say about joy this morning? Did he say the same thing in your time that he said in ours?
You see?
Joy is something you choose. Remember that? Listen to that verse one more time. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice. We will be glad in it. There's probably more we could do, but I think that might be enough for today. There's verses all over the Bible that just might be the most important verse in your life on a given day. The more of them you know, the more likely God can call to mind the one you need. Get yourself a pen. My recommendation is not a Bic, and it's not a rollerball. Get yourself a good crossball point so it won't bleed through the page. Speaking, you want to see the examples of each type I can show you. And mark in a Bible. And then, when you turn the pages of your Bible, something will jump out at you and just look at you. And it might be something you need to think about. Let's have a word of prayer as we go. Our Father, we thank you for the time you give us. We thank you for the fellowship we enjoy here. And we thank you for the opportunities to serve that will come our way as we go out into the world from this place. Teach us to hear your voice. Teach us to follow your word. Teach us to love you through your Son. And most of all, teach us to love each other and to walk in our world in the way that you would have us do. All this we pray in your Son's name. Amen.